your host, Ben Korn.
I like Joey Votto a lot.
Interesting.
Because I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan.
And Chris Welder.
That's the only reason you like him? That's the reason you like him? I mean...
No, Joey Votto, I mean, people just
need analysis here, Ben.
Okay, I mean, I thought the song would get us there, but I guess not, so...
And now, Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Coffee.
And my name is Ben Korn.
Coffee makes me poop.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Fantasy Baseball Weekly is back for episode number 5. I've got Chris Welter. My name is Ben Korn. What's going on over there, Big Chris?
I'm in a good mood today, let me tell you, Ben.
Yeah?
I mean, as you know, I guess the listeners might not know, but we record at your house.
Yeah, it's a real nice house.
So that basically relegates to you providing the coffee, but I found a pretty awesome coffee mug that you had hidden away there.
Yeah.
Just says, it's a big, big coffee mug. It just says, coffee makes me poop. And it's a very suggestively brown color, if you
yeah,
will.
Yeah, it's a good mug.
Yeah, the day is looking good.
I give that to all my guests.
Oh. So it was special.
You shouldn't feel special.
So coffee makes everybody poop?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I thought it was just me.
On the show today, we've got a variety of different things that we're talking about. A lot of busts, a lot of sleepers. We'll talk about some minor league prospects that I think might make an impact on your fantasy team. And we'll talk about the opening day game, which will be on Sunday. Not this Sunday, but the week from. So we're 7 days away from baseball. It's very exciting. Yes! Hey! A couple people will be talking about Matt Wieters, Anthony Rendon, Blake Swihart. We might talk about Kendrys Morales, maybe some Phil Hughes, Wade Miley. AJ Pollock might make it into the discussion.
Show, yeah.
Freddie Freeman, Adam Jones.
Yes!
Who else should we talk about? Maybe TJ House? I like him a lot.
Getting deep today.
Jock Peterson. Maybe Jose Altuve might make it in. So there's going to be a lot to be discussed. And what a better way to get things started but with the news.
Are you guys ready for the news with Chris Welter? Well, here it is. Take it away, Chris.
Hyunjin Ryu continues to have shoulder issues dating back to last season. He will rest for 2 weeks and start the season on the DL. Matt Wieters was shut down with elbow tendonitis while recovering from off-season Tommy John surgery. He will likely start the season on the DL. Chris Sale is recovering well from a fractured foot and is on pace to make his season debut on April 12th. Anthony Rendon undergoes a second MRI on his ailing knee. He is also likely to start the season on the DL. Red Sox catcher Christian Vasquez is headed for Tommy John surgery, opening the door for Uber prospect Blake Swihart to be the opening day starting catcher for the Red Sox. David Robertson is slowed this spring with forearm tightness, but swears he'll be good to go for opening day. Lastly, Dellin Betances has been awful this spring.
You're telling me!
As Yankees manager Joe Girardi refuses to name an opening day closer, Andrew Miller is lurking in the bullpen.
Yeah, I'll tell you that that Dellin Betances. I mean, we were really high on Dellin going into the season, but I mean, I don't know what's going on with him this year, but he is just not the same Betances that we saw last year.
It's definitely worrisome. You know, I'm always skeptical of the second year guys. You wonder, is that great season a fluke or can they repeat it? And with Betances, he being drafted 86th overall, it just seems like too much risk when he might not even be the closer.
Yeah, I mean, we're in an episode that we're talking about sleepers and busts, and when you look at 86, I mean, that's definitely a guy that could be on the bust list.
That could definitely hurt you.
Andrew Miller might end up being a pretty good sleeper.
Right.
I don't know where he's going on ADP right now, but you know, you look at, he's been consistently just that setup guy, whether it was, you know, the Red Sox or you know, all the places that he's gone. So I would look at Andrew Miller as a guy that you might want to pick up because he's probably going in the 100s, 200s.
It's a good call. He's at 290 on Yahoo right now.
So like 290 and a possible, you know, save guy. And I know in our league we do holds too. So it's like you pick him up for holds, he might be the save guy. And for the Yankees, you're going to get a lot of saves. So.
Yeah, and Andrew Miller is an elite K guy. You know, his peripherals are really good, ERA and whip. So he'll help you across the board. Probably the most worrisome for me is Anthony Rendon, if you want to talk about bust potential. You know, he's going ADP of 19, so he's your first or second best player. And he's an interesting story because his sort of minor league career was very injury plagued.
Okay.
Even into his college career, he got drafted later than his talent would have showed because he continually had knee problems. So here we are again with a second year guy. Like I said, that's always worrisome for me. It's not clear that he's going to be able to repeat that elite production.
Yeah, ADP 19, I would definitely stay away. And Anthony Rendon was another guy that, you know, I was listening to different podcasts and some of our competitors, and they were so high on Anthony Rendon, and they made some really good case. You know, a guy that gives you multiple locations, whether it be second base, shortstop. Right. Like, you have plenty of different places you can play him. You know, he's a breakout star, could keep it going. But, you know, if you're going to pull a Troy Tulowitzki and be injured every single season...
Yeah, see, he's not quite as good as Troy. Whereas Troy, right, you only need 130 games to make it worthwhile. Anthony Rendon, if he doesn't do exactly what he did last season, he's not worth the 19th pick.
You can definitely, if you do pick up Anthony Rendon, look for some of those, you know, ADP 200-plus backups that you can, right, place in there, because Rendon cannot be trusted at this point. But, I mean, looking at your news, I mean, there's just a lot of DL stuff to talk about. I mean, Ryu, I always love Ryu.
You got to pass on him at ADP of 120. That's, you know, that's your third pitcher, maybe, in a normal mixed league. And Ryu could be injured all season. Who knows? He could be done for the season. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy how these catchers that are coming down with Tommy John surgery.
Right. That's actually extremely interesting in Boston with Christian Vasquez going down, who was a very highly touted prospect himself.
Yeah.
But John Farrell came out last week before the injury news and said if Vasquez is hurt, so maybe he knew something.
Yeah.
But he said if Vasquez is hurt, we will start the season with Blake Sweetheart. And he's a top 15 prospect, like very highly rated. So I don't know that Blake will have a lot of fantasy relevance this year. Catchers take some time to adjust to the league usually, but he's someone to keep an eye on at the very least.
Well, and somebody like yourself, when it comes to catchers, you're not looking to draft a, you know, Buster Posey at the catcher position anyways.
No.
So somebody like Blake could just be a surprise. Like, well, it's a throwaway position in terms of drafting for, right, fantasy anyways. Maybe you go for somebody like Blake Sweetheart to, you know, can get you the same production as maybe a top 10 catcher, maybe. And you're going to get him at ADP 300-plus because nobody knows about him.
I'm with you there. Like, I will be taking my catcher in the last round, and you just hope for that Devin Mesoraco type, yep, of breakout.
The player profile on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Entering the 2010 season, Kendrys Morales was the face of the Angels. Hitting .304 and 34 home runs the previous season, Morales was primed to be the Angels' cleanup hitter of the future. Until one fateful day, he hit a walk-off grand slam and his career took a turn for the worse. He tore his ACL while celebrating with his teammates and missed all of 2011. 2012 and 2013 were mildly successful for Morales, hitting 22 and 23 home runs. Then, in 2014, he fell victim of a qualifying offer where the team signing him must give up a first-round draft pick. No team wanted to take that risk, and instead, Kendrys sat out the first 2 months of the season and was never able to get it going at the plate.
This is producer Rick, and you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Kendrys Morales. This is a guy, I'll tell you what, I mean, if you're looking for power, Kendrys Morales is a guy that you definitely want. And I think that player profile is a great segue into the idea of a sleeper. You know, we want to talk about sleepers and busts in today's episode. And a sleeper is that guy that usually is drafted in like the, you know, 200s or later, that you think has potential to really be a beast. It doesn't mean that they will be a beast, but it means they have the potential to be a beast. And Kendrys Morales, I think, is one of those guys. I mean, you look at, you know, 20-plus home runs, has the potential to go 30-plus home runs, currently not even being drafted right now. He could be a beast.
Yeah, he's a perfect late-round flyer. And some other guys, you know, a sleeper is a relative term. It all depends on the draft position, really. So Kendrys is a deep sleeper.
Yeah.
Sort of some lighter sleepers, though. One that I really love is A.J. Pollock.
Yeah, you seem to be in love with old A.J.
I do love him. You know, he had a really sort of mini breakout season last year. He's 27 years old already, so he's coming out of the minors a little bit late. But in short work last year, in 265 at-bats, he had a .302 average, 7 home runs, 14 stolen bases, and in total, he had 37 extra base hits. So he was really hitting for a lot of power.
Okay.
In that time period. And the Arizona Diamondbacks, it's a great ballpark there. You know, it really has a lot of home run potential there. And he's been named the leadoff hitter. So he's going to be hitting in front of Paul Goldschmidt, Mark Trumbo, Yasmani Tomas. So he could really rack up the runs this season. And he's being drafted at 147. He's more of a high-end sleeper, but I could easily see him being a top 100 player.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think A.J. Pollock's on my radar. T.J. House, I'm really getting into. There was some news that came out today that...
some breaking news here.
Breaking news found right here on the weekly podcast. So we don't know when you're actually listening to this, but at least in terms of when we recorded it, this is breaking news that I think we beat ESPN.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure. T.J. House has a spot in the starting rotation for the Cleveland Indians. So right now he's being drafted pretty late. I think that you'll definitely get your money's worth with our boy TJ.
I'm seeing ADP of 456 for TJ House. And yeah, he had a very productive season. He was also not a highly touted prospect last year, but he came in and kind of surprised everybody with great control, very low walk rate, and kept it at a 3.35 ERA last year. And I just feel like he can repeat that pretty easily.
Yeah, a guy that I like that I don't think you like very much is Aaron Sanchez.
Hmm.
You had talked about how you kind of liked him.
Well, yeah, he sort of the opposite of TJ House. He's a very highly touted prospect. And he came into the season expected to sort of win the closer job. You know, he pitched out of the bullpen last year very successfully. But then they've had a lot of, the Blue Jays we're talking here, have had a lot of injuries to their starting rotation, so they moved him into the starting rotation. And I just worry, he's a young guy who doesn't have much professional experience, and he's really a two-pitch pitcher. He's got a great fastball, don't get me wrong, I'm talking 97 to 100-mile-per-hour fastball, but he throws it 80, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
So I just think he could be great 1 year, but he could really struggle this year to find his way.
Well, and I think with... being in the bullpen, you can kind of rely on those two pitches a little bit more.
Yes. Yeah.
But moving into that starting rotation, that's where it's like, well, I don't know if we can trust you just have two pitches when you're going 6-7 innings. Another guy, sticking kind of with that pitching element, Wade Miley, you know, Boston Red Sox, bring him over. Kind of been struggling the last few years, but a name that is synonymous with being a decent pitcher. You see a lot of potential from him.
That was a very underrated signing by the Red Sox. I loved it. First of all, he's coming out of Arizona, which we talked about with Pollock, is a very homer-friendly ballpark. And Wade Miley's a fly ball pitcher, so it really kind of screwed him to be there last year. One thing that really excites me is when a pitcher starts playing with his arsenal. He starts trying to find new pitches or learn new pitches or learn how to use them better. And Miley really did that last year. He increased the use of his slider from 15% to 25% last season, and it's my guess, but he increased his K rate by 2 strikeouts per inning. He was usually about a 6 strikeouts per 9 type of guy, and last season he jumped up to 8 strikeouts per 9.
Okay,
and I can only conclude that that's from this extra usage of the slider. So if he continues that, and then he's in a better ballpark in Boston now, he could really take off. And actually, his peripherals pointed to that. He had a 4.34 ERA last year, but an xFIP of 3.50. So you would expect his ERA to come down, particularly because his BABIP was up at 3.17 last season, which is a little high. So I think there's room for improvement. And if he keeps that elite K rate, he could be great. And very, this is a guy going, what is he? He's unranked. He's undrafted. So that's the epitome of a sleeper right there. A
couple other guys that we've seen that are going at a nice ADP. Michael Fiers, Michael Pineda. Pineda has injury issues, but if he's not injured, that dude can be a beast. Looking at somebody like Marcus Semien or Scooter Gannett. Both are going about 282, 283. Who do you like better between those two guys?
Right now, the industry would say Marcus Semien, and obviously Billy Beane in Oakland.
Yeah.
Anytime he chooses a player, you definitely want to take note.
Yeah.
But I really like Scooter Gannett. There's a good chance he wins the leadoff role for the Brewers, and he's another guy that just hit. He's a doubles machine. So in leagues where OPS matters, like, you know, he's not going to hit 30 home runs, but he could hit 40, 50 doubles and really help your nice. OPS there. So I'd take Gannett there.
Yeah, and I like a guy named CJ Krohn, a guy you don't really hear much about, but he could be the number four guy on the Angels. And you look at just the amount of runs that are going to be coming out of Anaheim. If he can continue to hold that spot, he's a young kid, hit some home runs, he could be kind of definitely a deep sleeper.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, with Josh Hamilton going down, he could be hitting four or fifth in that lineup.
Yeah.
And that's a sweet spot. Krohn is another guy, just classic underrated because he was never a highly touted prospect. But yeah, he's produced at the major league level right now.
Other guys just to kind of keep on your radar, you know, Michael Kadir.
Oh, I do want to I want to talk about Michael Kadir. He got so discounted when he went to the Mets. People just assume, oh, he'll never hit for power now.
Right.
But
I mean, when you're
he's
a Rockies character,
crushing it in the spring. He's got five or six home runs. And this is a batting champion from 2 years ago. Granted, it was in Colorado, yeah. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. But I see no reason Kadir can't go bat 300 and hit 20, 25 home runs. And that's a very good player.
Any other that you want to mention before we get out of the sleepers?
My last one. Well, I have two. Sorry, I actually have two. We're going to go a little long here.
No, boy.
I want to talk about Phil Hughes.
Oh, Philly.
Who had an incredibly productive season last year. You know, he left the Yankees. He was a highly touted prospect coming out of the Yankees.
Yeah.
And he just got the crap beat out of him in New York, mainly because he's a fly ball pitcher. So he then went to Minnesota, which is a big ballpark, plenty of room to hit fly balls, and he really took off. Particularly, you saw his home run to fly ball ratio get cut in half. Went from 12% to 6%.
Okay.
And that's totally because of the ballpark. And then same as Wade Miley, he really started playing with his arsenal. Phil Hughes we're talking about here. He completely ditched his slider and instead started throwing the cutter. And because of that, just saw his control get much, much better. His walks per nine went from 2.5 in 2013 to under one. Like historical
wow.
walks per nine Phil Hughes did last season. And again, I think that's because he started favoring the cutter, which he clearly likes. And kind of the most amazing part about Phil Hughes is he had this breakout season. He had the highest pitcher BABIP of anybody.
Really?
He had a 324 BABIP. So with his career year, he could get better. So I love Phil Hughes this season. And he's actually, I don't know where he's being drafted, but.
Well, and then you got a guy, you know, I don't know if the listeners are familiar with, you know, my ability to throw a bowling ball, but you know,
haven't talked about our love of bowling, have we?
I don't think so. I mean, we love baseball, but we also love bowling. It's
yeah.
the two B's.
Really, anything with big balls,
yeah,
we're into.
Big balls are important, and you know, I've been bowling pretty well. I had a 777 series the other
it's
day.
True, we are on a bowling team together.
Yeah, thank you so much. But a guy that I would like to add to my bowling team.
I didn't actually congratulate you. I just said,
huh.
We're on a bowling team together.
That wasn't, I wish that I could be on your team more often.
No.
I'm pretty sure that's what I heard.
Okay, well, you can just run with it then.
Okay, thank you so much. Mookie Betts. I didn't realize this guy was a bowler.
Yeah, he was previously on my bust list. I think I've trashed him earlier in the year.
Game changer.
Learned some new information about Mookie Betts that has completely changed him. He's now a sleeper in my mind. Did you know, Ben Korn?
No, I did not.
He went to college on a bowling scholarship.
I also did.
Well, that's not true.
Okay.
But he actually has 6 300 games. And
I bowled a 299.
Well, so you have zero 300 games.
Yep.
And every time that he's gotten to the 10th frame with all strikes, he has gotten the 300. That's clutch.
So he's 6 for 6 when he's
six
in that position?
6 for 6 with the 300 games. He is a clutch man.
I want to check the... I want to check your references here. I don't think that can be correct. He can't be that much of a beast.
I'm telling you. So I love Mookie Betts.
All right.
He's also having a great spring, if we want to talk baseball-related stuff.
And we'll talk more about Mookie Betts and the situation of the outfielder of the Red Sox coming up later on in the show.
If you've got 30 seconds, then we've got a homer.
I'd like to welcome Ed from Boston. Ed, you got 30 seconds. Let's hear what you got to say about the Boston Red Sox.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me back here. I got to tell you, the Red Sox are back this year. They went from last to first to last. Now they're going to go back to first. Come November, you're going to see me on Boylston Street dancing at that baseball tavern with my ice-cold Sammy Adams. I love this kid, Mookie Sweet Potato Betts. Not only is he a great baseball player, he's even a better bowler. And here comes Hanley Ramirez. Boy, can that guy hit. You got the big panda. His belly might be big, but his batting average is even going to be bigger. Hanley brings the bite, and Panda brings the food. Big Poppy's back this year for another year. He's getting younger every year. And I think that's because of the undetectable drugs he's been taking. And in November, we're going to have Neil Diamond singing Sweet Caroline. The city of Boston is ready. Get the duck boats revved up. We got another championship coming.
Hey guys, it's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
All right, all right, all right. Moving on to the bust segment of Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Thank you so much for joining us once again. This is episode number 5. This episode is the last episode of spring training before we really dive in. And what a better way than to talk busts. A bust is kind of that guy that is being drafted too high. And we want to point him out to you so you don't ruin your whole season. Mike Trout, is Mike Trout a bust?
No, he's about as solid as they come.
Yeah, I think when it comes to a number one pick, I think Mike Trout is a pretty solid pick. But somebody similar to that where if Mike Trout doesn't bring it this year, your team's dead in the water if you lose your number one pick. So I look at a lot of these early round guys that may not fit their value that they're going. And my first guy that I look at is Adam Jones. I mean, you look at number 9 overall, there's no way that Adam Jones is worth picking number 9. I had him last year, good player. Is he first round player? I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. He has produced consistently, but he's a guy that just takes no walks. He just swings at everything. So I think with his bust potential is if he keeps swinging and all of a sudden he starts missing, then he could really hit the fan real quick. And as you said, it's really the early guys that you got to avoid a bust because that could ruin your team. If your best player is a bust, you're over.
And Jose Altuve, a good player again, going at draft position of number 15. But if he doesn't replicate what he did last year, we could be in trouble.
Yeah, with Altuve, my worry is just what he actually gives you because so much of his value is stolen bases.
Yeah.
So unless you're in a roto league, stolen bases aren't that valuable. It's just one stat, if he drops down to a 300 average and only steals 440 bases, that is not a first-round player at all.
And, I mean, you can find stolen bases elsewhere. Right. We'll be talking about some minor league guys, a guy like Micah Johnson, projected to be a second baseman for the White Sox. He could easily get you some stolen bases. Of course, Billy Hamilton, I mean, he's going a little bit high, but he can get you those stolen bases. So there's other guys that can get you stolen bases and not go number 15 overall. Matt Harvey, you look at him, number 59 overall. I mean, great pitcher, but
he's
not going to get you the pitch count.
He's phenomenal this season, too. Yeah, with him, it's just his innings pitch limit. They've basically said he's not going over 200 innings. And we talked about this before. He might only do 5 innings a start. Yeah. I mean, for your first or second best pitcher, you just can't have that.
I mean, if you're not even going to get 6 innings out of the guy, you're going to miss a ton of pitching stats depending on what is being recorded in your league. If you're looking for wins, I guess you can get wins for that. But just be wary. Kind of consider him like Steven Strasburg or whatever, like 2 years ago. Big name. Everybody's talking about him. But the pitch count's going to get in trouble.
Right. It's next season that you want Harvey.
Freddie Freeman going 39. Love Freddie Freeman. I think we've talked about Freddie Freeman on this program. I think that he's worth having, but you look at number 39. The people around him just are going to make it difficult for him to put up phenomenal numbers. So he'll be consistent. He'll be, getting his home runs. He'll be getting his runs. But because the guys around him aren't going to be putting up much, it's going to be difficult to really blow away those numbers, which makes 39 a difficult time to be picking him.
Right. When you say the guys around him, you mean his lineup, because Atlanta has destroyed its team this year.
Nice work, Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Freddie Freeman going to 39, I'd much rather have Albert Pujols two spots later. You know, if it was a keeper league, no, but Albert Pujols this season is going to be better than Freddie Freeman.
Koji Uehara, this is a guy that, 2 years ago came out of nowhere, blew everybody away, became the closer for the Red Sox, and just put up phenomenal numbers. I'm going to tell you right now, I think he's a bust this year.
Well, he's particularly a bust. Beep, beep, beep. We have breaking news.
Hey, 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 hey!
Koji will not start the season. He's going to be on the DL. And the Red Sox have named Edward Mujica as the closer for opening day. So we'll see how long that could last, a long time.
So based on this breaking news, Edward Mujica, sleeper?
Yeah, last round sleeper. His numbers aren't that great.
So basically just the Red Sox might struggle in the bullpen. That's the moral of the story.
They really need to trade for Cole Hamels and Jonathan Papelbon.
Oh, wow.
One big deal.
I would be all right with bringing Pappy. Yeah. Pappy back to Boston. Pablo Sandoval, he's been running his mouth again, you know, wants to be fatter. The fatter, the better. Right. Is kind of his mindset.
He's a very defensively fat guy. He really defends his fat.
I mean, like, I'm a fat guy, but if somebody told me that I need to get skinnier, I'd be like, all right, I'm making a lot of money, I'll get skinnier. Pablo's like, no, I want to be as fat as possible. If you're not okay with that, I'm not okay with you. He's going average draft position of 78, and he's done nothing in the regular season to really make you think that he can put up those type of numbers. He's a great postseason guy, but I don't know if we can trust him at 78 during the regular season.
No, that's just too high. He does nothing at elite levels. He just kind of gives you a little bit of everything. And in the same round, you can get a Kyle Seager or a Christian Yelich. I'd much rather have those guys than Pablo.
Danny Salazar, ADP 206, but he just got demoted to the minor leagues, so stay away from him.
Right, so some of these later round busts that we have are really just because they don't even have a job anymore. Danny Salazar, Kevin Gausman's going to be in the bullpen now. He was a big sleeper for people. One guy we disagree on that I think is a major bust, but Matt Cain. I just don't see any bounce back. People are praying for the bounce back here, and he was an ace at one point, but you know, even at ADP 222, I think that's too early to just assume he'll bounce back.
You know, I think with ADP 222, you just have to look at it and say, if he does bounce back, you're getting a ton of upside with a guy like Matt Cain. I mean, you'll get 3-4 years ago, Matt Cain was one of the first 10 pitchers off the board.
Yeah.
You know, will he be able to get to that point? No. But at 222, you know, if he can get close, that's not a bad, you know, you pick him up as maybe your sixth or seventh pitcher. And then if you're going to stream anyways, you test him out, see if he's got it in him. If he doesn't, you drop him and you start streaming some other guys. So I see him as a good value pick that has some potential. What's the latest with Carlos Carrasco? I like Carlos. You have him on your bust.
He's a bust for me just because of where he's going. He's got an ADP of 113.
Okay.
And a lot of people, and I agree with them, say he has the potential to do a Corey Kluber type of breakout season. But I feel like if you're drafting him at 113... that's your number two, number three pitcher. You need him to break out. And he just hasn't done it yet. So I think that's too much risk for him. And that's why I would say he's a bust, because if he ends up sucking at 113 draft pick, you know, you're giving up a lot of value there.
It's the fantasy game of the week.
Let's get this season kicked off. The only game on the schedule before we do another episode is St. Louis and Chicago Cubs. John Lester will be pitching for the Cubbies. Will he perform up to the high expectation now that he's in the National League? I don't know. Chris Bryant will most likely not be in the lineup on opening day, but wouldn't it be something special if he was? For St. Louis, I think we need to watch the fantasy impact of Jason Hayward. He has breakout potential with a new start in St. Louis. Much has been made of Colton Wong. Let's see if this year is the year he makes that next step forward. The debut of Joe Maddon in a Cubby uniform isn't too bad either. Opening night, Cardinals versus Cubs, is this week's fantasy game to watch. In this final episode of Fantasy Baseball Weekly before the regular season begins, let's dive in a little bit deeper on just a couple names that you should have in the back of your pocket. You probably don't want to draft these guys unless you definitely want to lock them in.
But these are some guys that are doing really well during the spring, and you know, probably will spend the first like 2 weeks, 3 weeks down in the minors, but could come up and pay dividends for your team if you keep an eye on them and know when they're about to come up. A guy that I like, first off, basically won the second base job for the Blue Jays, Devin Travis. I think this guy, he's had a tremendous spring. He's got some speed on the base path. You know, plays good with the glove as well. So, you know, even though he's got the hitting capability, also has the fielding, so that'll keep him in the majors once he's up here. I like Devin Travis a lot.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of pop, a little bit of speed. But again, it would make perfect sense if the Blue Jays kept him down for at least 2 or 3 weeks. But after that, he should be the starting second baseman.
Carlos Rodon, a pitcher, White Sox. He's going to begin the season in AAA. They're saying that he needs at least one more pitch, similar to what you're talking about with the Aaron Sanchez. He's got two really good pitches, and he's striking out a ton of guys in spring training. But give him one more pitch. It might be 2 weeks. It might be 2 months. We're not sure about how long Carlos is going to be down in the minors.
I think they're playing the arbitration game there. He's major league ready. He pitched all through college. He's ready to roll. I think they're just going to keep him down for a month to keep his arbitration clock long.
Micah Johnson, he's been around for a while. He's going to be the second baseman for the White Sox. He could be a guy that you can get late in the draft that has some speed, has a little bit of pop, and should definitely be somebody to keep an eye on, as he did beat out Carlos Sanchez for the starting spot during spring training.
Yeah, in that lineup, he could have a lot of value, a lot of runs, a lot of RBI potential.
Blake Sweetheart, Red Sox, we talked about him as a breaking news. Christian Vasquez looks to be going down with Tommy Johns. That opens the door for Blake to be the starting catcher. Is he ready to be drafted? I don't know, but somebody to kind of keep on your radar.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick him up right away, but if he has a hot couple weeks, then, you know, then he's worth a stash.
Byron Buxton is a guy for the Twins that they really like, you know, drafted number two in 2012, had an issue with a concussion from play out in the outfield, has slowed down his rise to the top, but a speed power guy that could come up in 2015. He's a little bit deeper, you know, might be a couple months before he comes up, but somebody to keep an eye on.
He had a very injury plague last season, and that slowed him down. I don't think they'll bring him up this year just for money reasons. The Twins are going to be terrible, so why bring him up? But if he does get called up, he's an immediate pickup in all leagues.
Noah Syndergaard, this was my buddy from the state of New York telling me about Noah early on.
Oh, yeah.
Upstate New York friend. I didn't say he was upstate. I just said he wasn't from the city.
Okay, so what is that, Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, I don't know. You be the judge of that, friends.
Well, you have to keep him a secret, I guess.
But another guy, top 10 pitching potential, most likely will probably make an appearance in this Mets rotation.
Yeah, I could see a June call-up for him, Super 2.
Archie Bradley, what's the latest on him?
He actually looks good this spring. He is an elite prospect who really struggled last season, but he seems to have figured it out this season, and I could see him coming up in June as well.
Daniel Norris?
He's going to start the season in the rotation, and he might be draftable, honestly. Of all these players we're mentioning, he might be the only one that's draftable because he is a top 20 player or top 20 prospect.
Okay. And a couple other things before we put this wrap on this episode. Since you have such a strong brain, Chris, I've been thinking about a lot of things about some of these teams and kind of what the fantasy impact is. The Red Sox outfield. What are we thinking over here? Victorino, is he going to be playing? Rusney Castillo is kicking some ass. Mookie Betts is kicking some ass. Is there going to be room for Victorino in this lineup?
I really have to back off my comments from earlier this year. And frankly, it's because John Farrell has changed his comments. But yeah, I think within a month, Mookie and Rusney Castillo will both be starting. And they're going to have to trade Victorino, or he's just going to have to sit on the bench and stew in his own poo.
Right. I would stew in my own poo for a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
The Cubs' youth, how much of a fantasy impact are guys like Chris Bryant and Baez going to have this year?
You got to go player by player there. I don't think Baez will have a big impact, but it's hard to argue with Chris Bryant at this point. I think he should be drafted in all leagues, and he could be a major impact player this season.
Nationals pitching. Are all five of these starting pitchers in your top 100?
Man, I want to put all six, including Tanner Roark. Yeah. But again, he doesn't have a starting job. They're all in the top 100. Max Scherzer is a beast. I actually like him as my number two starting pitcher this season.
Oh, wow.
I think they're all going to be great.
Marlins signings. Was this how much money they spent on Christian Yelich? Was that worth the amount of money they spent?
Worth it, yeah. It's worth it for Yelich. I think Ozuna's next. I just worry Miami doesn't quite have the pitching yet. We need Jose Fernandez to come back healthy. But, yeah, that lineup's going to produce, man.
Jose Fernandez, interesting. How early do you draft him, knowing that he might be coming back midway through the season?
I won't have him on any of my teams. Because, you don't know exactly when he'll come back, and then will he be effective? You know, I think people look at Matt Harvey and they get all excited. Matt Harvey had 16 months to recover. Yeah. Jose's looking at 13 to 14. That's a big difference. So I don't want Jose Fernandez at all.
Reds, Cincinnati, are they going to be unloading all their major talent midway through the year? And does that make their talent more intriguing or less?
I don't think they can unload because they just don't have a minor league system that's going to blow up. So they kind of need to go for it now. Votto looks very healthy. I've heard great things about his injury recovery this year. And I think if Votto clicks, the rest of the lineup will click, including, you know, Jay Bruce could be a great, great undervalued guy this year.
And how do we play this Yankees bullpen? Do we draft Andrew Miller? Do we draft Betances? What's your initial thoughts?
Unless you play in a holds league, I'm just avoiding the whole situation. Because we just don't know. Dellin Betances looks like he might not be the same guy. But again, they don't seem to like Andrew Miller as the closer. They've never whispered that, so I just avoid the whole scenario.
Los Angeles Dodgers always have a lot of talent on that team. Last year, the team unity kind of brought them down. Is this year, now they got rid of Kemp, they got rid of Ramirez, is going to be the year that team unity comes together and these guys actually play well?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of it comes down to Yasiel Puig because he's been kind of the thorn in the side of the chemistry. But I think he's growing up, he's getting more mature, and really, if he can lead the team with his personality, then they could take off. Jock Peterson also looks amazing this spring. He could be a very high-impact rookie.
Yeah, that's a nice deep sleeper. He was on my list, but I didn't get to him earlier.
We got a lot of sleepers, man. It's tough to get to them all.
It's a busy day. Last but not least, Colorado Rockies. Always up there in a fantasy impact. How's the Colorado Rockies hitting looking for fantasy impact? I mean, the team itself isn't projected to do anything, but these guys, Corey Dickerson, Troy Tulowitzki, are we drafting these guys pretty high just because they are in Mile High?
Yeah, their pitching is the reason that their team is going to be terrible. They have nobody. But,
I mean, when you have a 40-year-old closer, you're in trouble.
Right, right. But yeah, Nolan Arenado looks great. Troy Tulowitzki looks very healthy. I know Carlos Gonzalez just had a little hiccup with his knee. But man, if that whole lineup clicks, they could be one of the best lineups in baseball.
I think that's it, friend. Thank you for all your information there.
Yeah, we flew by, man. I love talking sleepers. We can go all day here.
So Fantasy Baseball Weekly, we'll be back at you next week in that next episode. We're going to be analyzing the season.
Yeah, time to kick off some real live stats.
And we'll talk about that. We might talk a little bit about our draft. We'll be drafting for our personal league that we're in this coming week. So we might we'll talk about how we felt about some of the guys that we got, where we got them. Talk about these games that are coming up and really building your lineup for the start of the season and just keeping you up to date on the latest and greatest. So, Chris Welter, thank you.
Yeah, and to all the people, good luck in your drafts, folks.
Good luck, and thank you so much for shipping up to Boston!